Well, please turn in your Bibles to our sermon text, Hebrews chapter 11. We are now at verses 11 and 12, and I'm also going to be reading from Genesis 18 as well. So please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hear now God's word from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Now turning to Genesis chapter 18 with some of the background to our passage. Genesis chapter 18, first I'm going to read verse 1 and then verses 9 through 15. And the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. They said to him, to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Oh, our great God, the God for whom nothing is impossible, the God who has the power to do the impossible and the faithfulness to bring about all your promises, as impossible as they may seem, oh Lord, help us to believe these biblical truths. Encourage our faith in what you reveal in your word about yourself. You're the God of all power. You're faithful to all your covenant promises. Oh Lord, encourage our faith. Encourage us through the preaching of your word, and I seek your spirit's unction in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday we saw that the Christian life is a pilgrimage. This present world with all of its sin and its unbelief and heartaches and pain, and even with our present struggle with doubts and with faith, this fallen world is not our home, thanks to Christ. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are, all who are trusting in Christ, are actually on a journey through this world, headed to the ultimate promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. And what the book of Hebrews is an exhortation and encouragement to, in this current fallen world, to persevere in faith, in trusting in Christ, despite any disappointments or discouragements or troubles or hardships we may face in this life. Now, the author of Hebrews has spent much of this book presenting a magnificent case that clinging in faith to Christ through it all is worth it. even if it means suffering great hardships and persecution for one's faith. It's worth it. Why? Because all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. And now, here in this great chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, is, as it's often known, the author now, in talking about faith and in all these great promises in Christ's redemption, the author now turns to Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the woman who we just read laughed when God said, I'm going to, you know, enable you to conceive and bear a son. We now turn to Sarah. And the author uses the example of this woman, the example of her own life and growth in faith to encourage us in our faith and to persevere. God truly possesses both the power and the faithfulness to bring about all he has promised, no matter how impossible it may seem to us. So take heart, cling to Christ. He's worth it, for God not only possesses that power, but he is faithful to every single one of his promises to us. He will bring it about. So let's go back to verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11 to help us better understand faith and really Sarah's faith at this point. Verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Now in this light, consider Sarah's journey in faith. God had promised her and her husband a son. But Sarah was barren. They had waited many, many long, long, long years for the promise of God of a son to finally be fulfilled. The exhortation in chapter 10 and verse 36 could have been directed straight at Sarah during those long years of waiting. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. In other words, when we read of the lives of those great Old Testament saints of faith here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and their own struggles in faith and obedience, we need to especially zero in on what it was that ultimately enabled them to persevere, so that in the end, they really did receive what was promised. And yes, faith definitely has a right now element. I'm trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, and so the Father's love is upon me. But faith, and this is what enabled the saints of old to persevere. In fact, an enduring faith also casts its gaze and its hope forward to those things which are promised, but which we don't yet have in hand. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the kind of faith that the saints of old demonstrated. Through the eyes of faith, they could spiritually see the things promised, even though those things lay far off in the future. The eyes of persevering faith gazes upon unseen spiritual realities and promises. It lays hold of God's promises revealed in his word. It beholds the record of Christ's saving work and embraces them and trusts God to be faithful to all of them. Romans 8, verses 24 to 25 expresses it in this manner. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is how a faith that enables endurance to the end works. We don't have it yet. It may even seem impossible to us. We can't see it with our own physical eyes. In other words, it's not in our hands. But God promised. And the God who has promised possesses both the power
and the absolute, utterly reliable faithfulness to bring it all about. In other words, faith trusts that what God promises, He will deliver. So let's go back to the book of Genesis and look at the events in Sarah and her husband's life, which in God's developing of her faith led her to finally be included in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, in fact, and verses 1 to 2. There, and that's an extremely significant passage, Genesis 12, those first three verses, but I'm just going to read the first two verses. God made a covenant promise to Abraham, and that promise there in Genesis 12 is massive across the pages of Scripture. We don't have time to develop that, but it's huge. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." You know, that's the promised land. That's the land of Israel. And then he says in verse 2, "And I will make of you," this is a promise which God has bound himself to, it's a covenant promise, "and I will make of you a great nation." Now, this divine promise presented to Abraham and Sarah as well was a huge test of their faith. Because if you peek back just a few verses, chapter 11, verse 30, you read, "Now Sarah was barren." So do you get it? Chapter 12, verse 2, "I'm going to make of you a great nation." But just before that, "Now Sarah was barren." She could not bear children, and yet God's promising children. "I'm going to make you a great nation. But Lord, my wife, she's barren." Then years later, God repeated his covenant promise to Abraham, Genesis 15. "Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless." That's years later. "For I continue childless." Even though Abraham complained to the Lord, there in Genesis 15, the Lord was compassionate. The Lord was compassionate over Abraham's struggle with faith. So the Lord there in Genesis 15 reassured him. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'Your very own son shall be your heir.' And God brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, so shall your offspring be,' said to a man whose wife was barren." And this, even though Abraham had complained to the Lord. And then we read that beautiful and significant verse 6 in chapter 15 of Genesis. "And he," that's Abraham, "believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." But what about Sarah and her trust in God's promise? Well, when you read Genesis, she didn't fare quite so well. As we see a few years later yet in Genesis 16, verse 1, we read, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children." It's still going on. There's the promise, and there's the barrenness. Oh, she must have struggled. So hurting, struggling Sarah, barren Sarah, no son. So she attempted to bring out God, to bring about God's promise through man's power. You know what I'm talking about. Verse 2, "And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abraham listened to the voice of his wife." And what a disaster that was. Because we read this, 16, verse 4. "And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt upon her mistress." What a disaster. Now fast forward. We've already had a number of years go by since the promise in Genesis 12. Now fast forward
13 more years to Genesis chapter 17. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, I will give you a son by her. She shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? So shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. The promise is so certain, God's telling him the name of the son, this promised son who would be born. Moving forward again to Genesis chapter 18, the Lord comes to Abraham, repeats his promise that he's going to have a son. Sarah overhears, that's what I read introducing the sermon. Sarah overhears that conversation, the Lord telling Abraham, you're going to have a son. She overhears that conversation, picking up in verse 12. So Sarah, overhearing, laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it that she laughed, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And the Lord said, no, Sarah, you did laugh. Okay? And this is what we're getting at. Sarah's 90 years old. She has a problem with believing God's promise. Now, at this point, it will help us in our own struggles to observe two things at this point. Sarah's continuing struggle with faith and with doubts, her struggle with believing God's promise, did not disqualify her from receiving the fulfillment of God's promise. Do you realize that? Her laughing, even. Her struggle did not qualify her from receiving God's promise. Ultimately, it's because Christ believed for us, right? Isn't that glorious? It's so very, very encouraging that even though we may still struggle with sin and we may still struggle in our faith, God hangs in there with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. His patience with us and our weaknesses is astounding. He just keeps on walking us through our struggles. He just keeps on building our faith and maturing our faith, even when it may seem to us like nothing's happening. Maybe I'm even regressing. God developing, building faith. That's what he was actually up to in all of this with both Abraham and with Sarah. God stretched Sarah further and further and further. Those are a huge number of years that transpired. He stretched her further and further in having to trust his faithfulness to his promises and his power to pull it off. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So even though Genesis doesn't record anything further saying, finally, Sarah believed, even though that's not there in the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit reveals to us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Sarah's faith did in fact blossom. Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Wow. Don't you just love the way the New Testament explains and expands on what's in the Old Testament? The Bible is just so beautifully, wonderfully interconnected, because ultimately there's one single author, God, the Holy Spirit. So think about this all. At 90 plus years of age, by faith, Sarah conceived and gave birth to the promised son. So take heart. God not only possesses the power to bring about all that he has promised, but God is utterly faithful to fulfill
every single promise, even though in whatever's going on in your life right now, it may not seem like he's going to fulfill his promises to you.
Let's take a closer look at verse 11 here in Hebrews 11. By faith, Sarah, she may have tried in the power of her own flesh to bring about God's promise through Hagar. And she may have also laughed when the Lord said she would bear a son, and that when she was years and years and years past the age of being able to conceive a son. But in Hebrews 11, we're informed that something wonderful, a miracle, took place. Sarah came to possess the faith necessary to receive the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, way past the age to conceive. Sarah, here in Hebrews 11, now a woman of faith, trusted God, believed God. Just as earlier in Genesis 15, Abraham came to believe God and that what God had promised he would bring about. And so also Sarah here came to realize and trust that God really is faithful to bring about all he promises, even when to human eyes it looks totally, totally impossible. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. Wow. Looking further at verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received the power to conceive. What does this mean? Sarah received the power to conceive. It means that by trusting in God's faithfulness to his promises, as well as in his power to do the impossible, God acted in response to her faith. God acted in response to her faith. So often we see that God acts when he's believed. So often in Scripture, we see that. God responds, God acts when he's trusted. No, our faith doesn't have to be perfect, nor does it mean that God measures how strong or weak our faith is. In God's wisdom, for our benefit and for our growth, God so often acts in response to faith, even when it's as small as a mustard seed. Consider the time that Jesus was in his own hometown, as recorded in Matthew chapter 13. The people took offense at Jesus. His own people took offense at him. They didn't trust him. And as a result, we read, Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It was not the case that Jesus couldn't do any miracles. After all, he's the Son of God. But rather, he acts in power, or he especially acts in power when there's faith. And I'll add again, even if it's as small as a mustard seed. After all, what good are miracles in the face of unbelief? So by faith, Sarah received the power to conceive. That is, God's power came upon her and empowered her womb to conceive when she believed the promise, for nothing will be impossible for God. That's what took place when God's power came upon the Virgin Mary, who also believed. Luke chapter 1. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing will be impossible with God." There's that statement again. For nothing will be impossible for God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What a woman. What a young lady of faith, Mary. So we learn from verse 11 that God possesses both the power as well as the faithfulness to bring about all that he has promised. So what was the fruit of Sarah's as well as Abraham's faith? The fruit was something mind-boggling. The fruit of her faith was something glorious, wonderful,
Incredible. Verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants. Plural. So what does the first part of verse 12 mean? Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead? What does that mean? You see, Abraham was unable to produce descendants by means of his barren wife, Sarah. And with no descendants, that's the death of his line. That's part of what that means. But since God possesses both the power as well as the faithfulness to bring about all that he has promised, well, that changes absolutely everything. Therefore, from one man were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Isaac, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and all of his brothers. Centuries later, millions of Abraham and Sarah's descendants left Egypt in the great Exodus. But what is more glorious is the descendant of Abraham and Sarah. Fear not, for behold, I will bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the ultimate descendant of Abraham and Sarah. But God's not done even there. Didn't God say, as many as the stars in heaven, sands on the seashore? You see, not only are there physical descendants of Abraham, when we come to the New Testament, we learn something more. There are also Abraham's spiritual descendants. Paul writes in Galatians 3:29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Isn't that glorious? Through our faith in Christ, through the Holy Spirit joining us to Christ, Christ is a descendant of Abraham, we are now spiritual descendants of Abraham, and all that God has promised to Abraham, we also inherit all of those promises. Estimates are that 2.2 billion, a third of Earth's population, are Christian. God's power and faithfulness to bring about all that he has promised is mind-blowing and faith-building. The new heavens and the new earth are going to be overflowing with Abraham's descendants. As many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore, all starting with Abraham and Sarah, his barren wife, and a promise made by God. And so this passage is all about the fact that God possesses both the power as well as the faithfulness to bring about everything he has declared, everything he has said, everything he has promised. And so often, God fulfills his promise in power when faith is present. And you may despair at that statement because you feel your faith is so weak or you still struggle with faith and doubts. But never forget the lives of those recorded right here in Hebrews chapter 11. Like Sarah, these great men and women of faith recorded here often struggled to believe God's promises, and they had some serious lapses, even sin. But in the end, they made it into Hebrews chapter 11. Isn't that incredible? They made it into Hebrews chapter 11. For even imperfect faith, even faith as small as a mustard seed, in God's eyes, is sufficient. For God in Christ is in the business of building faith, of growing faith, of nourishing the faith of those who trust in Christ. So when God stretches you, when you encounter life's bitter disappointments, when you struggle to trust and obey, never lose sight. I'm going to say it one more time. I've been saying it throughout this sermon. Never lose sight that God possesses both the power and the absolute trustworthy faithfulness to bring about all he has promised. For all the promises of God are yes in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we truly can relate to the man in the Gospels who said, "Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief." Encourage us, even with this story, this example of the faith of Sarah. Encourage us that by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Lord, through your grace, through your working in our lives, may that sort of an account be true of us as well. Build our faith. Encourage us in faith. And thank you for Christ, again, who trusted you, believed you without fault as our substitute, so that when you look upon us, you see your Son, in whom you're well pleased. Lord God, Heavenly Father, never let us go. Even when we falter and we struggle and we doubt, keep us firmly in the grip of your grace. We ask all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Please take your hymnals. Let's turn to hymn number 253. There is a fountain filled with blood. Please stand.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel.